This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Shouning and Roshan. Now, in about half an hour, we'll be delving into the business of the local film industry with Community Film Titi Wangsa. And in conjunction with that, we're asking you in a poll on the BFM Twitter account, that's at BFM Radio, we're asking you, did you watch a local film this year? So far, we've had about 50 votes. It's pretty evenly split. 52% said no, 47% said yes. Continue to give us your thoughts. But in the meantime, let's talk about government funds. So the question is always, are government ministries effectively using their budget allocations? And this is the issue being raised following yesterday's report by Malaysia Kini on ministries' use of development budgets. Now, the report stated that as of early November, five ministries have a balance of more than 40% of their development expenditure allocations under the 2019 budget.
Yeah, according to this report at that time, the ministries cited included the Economic Affairs Ministry, the Youth and Sports Ministry, MITI, and as well as the Ministry of Defence. And the information was based on a document seen by Malaysia Kini for the Implementation Coordination Unit of the Prime Minister's Department. However, Malaysia Kini has since taken down the original article following requests from the Prime Minister's Department.
Yes, this is because the report was based on classified information. The Prime Minister's Department also said that the report was inaccurate and did not reflect the true picture. Since this was first reported, both MEA and the Ministry of Youth and Sports have come out to refute the claims that they did not use their development allocation. Both ministries said that they had spent over 99% of their development budgets as of mid-December.
So for some general thoughts on budget allocations and what they're used for, we turn this morning to Lawrence Todd, Head of Research and Development at the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs, or IDEAS. Thank you very much for joining us, Lawrence. So first, let's lay out some basics. How many types of expenditures are there in the government budget, and what are some examples that you could give us?
So there are two broad categories of government expenditure, so development expenditure and operational expenditure. Now, these categories can go by different names. In the UK, we talk about resource expenditure and capital expenditure. But essentially, the distinction is between spending that goes on the delivery of the government's ongoing operations. So that's paying staff, buying goods and services, paying of welfare and so on, paying for medicines and the public healthcare system. And that is all covered under operational expenditure. And then the development expenditure will be the investment, normally capital investment in projects that will have, you know, associated with a sort of one-off cost, but then will then deliver some benefit to the country over time. The idea is that it should be investment that improves the income of the country and even indeed the revenue of the government over the long term. So the classic example of development expenditure is infrastructure, so bridges, roads, railways, so on, that require upfront capital investment, but then will deliver a return in the longer term in terms of growth, as opposed to something like the Bantuan-Sara Hidup, which is a set amount of money that gets paid every year. So that would be covered under operational expenditure.
What's the impact of having high levels of unused development expenditure?
I think there's both good and bad potential impact. Of course, on the one hand, if we're seeing less development expenditure, that means less investment for the country in infrastructure and projects that could deliver income in the long term. And the point of setting these budgets is to ensure that there is enough provision for that kind of spending. And there are a lot of development demands in Malaysia, a lot of infrastructure projects that still want to be, that the government still wants to pursue. So if that's kind of slowing down and backing up, then that's not a great sign. But on the other hand, as we were talking about before, it may be that this is the result of, a more disciplined budgeting process, a better balance of checks, a better system of checks and balances in terms of sharing the responsibility of development spending across ministries and not just concentrating it in the PM's department. And therefore, naturally, we'll see some slowdown in the rate at which the budget can be spent. In the same vein, this might also be a result of more scrutiny being applied to individual projects, which is certainly a good thing.
And thank you very much, Lawrence. That was Lawrence Todd, Head of Research and Development at the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs. Now, I actually think it's quite interesting that the Ministry of Economic Affairs and the Ministry of Youth and Sports have come out to refute this report by Malaysia Kini. I would actually be interested to see what kind of a breakdown they have on what they've spent their development expenditure on, because it was only, day before yesterday that we were talking about report cards, one presented by Lembah Pantai MP Fahmi Fazil.
Yes.
Maybe that could be something that the wider cabinet could adopt in order to keep the public informed on what they're actually working on.
Yeah, we should be able to see what they spent on, and they should have no objection to scrutiny on it, right? Because after all, it's public funds. And development expenditure is only 20% of what the government spends out of its 100% budget. Operating expenditure is about 80%. It's important because the purpose of the development expenditure, as what Lawrence said, is to kind of do projects which kind of grow the economy on a bigger scale. We always have this issue in Malaysia, right? Are we moving in the right direction? And this development budget is where we know whether we are ticking all the right boxes.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think the government should be held accountable as to what they're spending on.
But isn't that what budget, the annual budget is for? So do we want a more regular opening of accounts then? Maybe a quarterly report from each ministry, official quarterly report about how they're using their funds. Maybe it'll keep them more accountable, and at least we can keep track of where the money is going throughout the year.
Absolutely, because we should always be able to keep track of what it is that the government is doing, because ultimately they are supposed to be doing it to the eventual benefit of the people, aka us. So I'd be very interested to see what they have to say, if they indeed are looking to talk about what they've been spending their development expenditure on. But there is another headline also in the news this morning, talking about Goldman Sachs, because according to a Wall Street Journal exclusive report, while Goldman Sachs Group is in talks with the US government on a settlement to resolve a criminal investigation into its role in the 1MDB case. So sources told the WSJ that Goldman and the Department of Justice have agreed on a fine of just under $2 billion.
Yeah, $2 billion is about, I think, 2.5% of the market capitalization of Goldman as of this morning. Sources told the parties are also discussing a deal in which a Goldman subsidiary in Asia, not the parent company, would plead guilty to violating U.S. bribery laws. The discussions also involve Goldman installing an independent monitor to oversee and recommend changes to its compliance procedures. Talks are continuing, and the outlining of a deal may change. The deal could be reached early next year, though.
Meanwhile, if you look at the Malaysian case, the settlement wouldn't resolve an investigation by Malaysian authorities. Malaysia is seeking to seek a claim of $7.5 billion, or 31 billion ringgit, for the losses caused by Goldman Sachs alone in the 1MDB scandal. Now, earlier this month, Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng said that Malaysia will proceed to file criminal charges against Goldman Sachs sometime next year. And our Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir recently told Reuters in an interview that Malaysia would prefer to avoid going to court, but only if a reasonable offer could be agreed upon. Now, from looking at Goldman, despite all this news, it doesn't seem to have affected the share price. It's still $229, so the stock price only had a marginal hit of 0.22%. It seems like Wall Street is like, okay, moving on. No, you know, this is something we already knew.
Interesting, considering that a $2 billion fine is, it would be one of the largest fines levied by the Justice Department against a bank since the mortgage settlements after the financial crisis. So it's this is going to be an interesting subject to follow up on. But right now we are heading into the 7:30 news. And up next, we'll be speaking with Mark Rozelle of George Mason University to better understand what's happening with President Trump's impeachment trial. That's happening after the 7:30 news bulletin. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.